Our opening hymn tonight, as we come to this gospel service, is 199. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we count it a grand theme to be able to sing about the love of God, that love that brought the Savior from above to die on Calvary. Greater love hath no man than this. We can say that in truth. And so as we come to your house and we come to this place of worship tonight at the gospel service, we rejoice afresh in the love of God towards men. We thank you tonight that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him to be brought into this life in the first place, in the incarnation. We thank thee for that moment when the Son of God became the Son of Man. when he took upon himself our nature and was born in human flesh. He gave him to a life in this world, growing up as a tender plant, as the prophet tells us, as a root out of dry ground, having no form nor comeliness. He gave him to a ministry, a short ministry of 3.5 years, when Christ went about doing good. And in the midst of it all, he suffered persecution and opposition. He gave him to Gethsemane's garden when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground in that agony of prayer. He gave him to the betrayal when Judas came to that garden and he was taken by the mob and led away to the house or the palace of Caiaphas. He gave him to the judgment, first of all, before the religious hierarchy, and then before the political world, as Judas Iscariot judged him. He gave him to that sentence when the people cried, "Away with him, crucify him." He gave him to the cross, where they led him outside the city walls, to the place that is called Calvary, and there they crucified him between two thieves. You gave him to all that the suffering entailed when he hung there in a physical sense. And we think of the spikes that nailed him to the cross. We think of the crown of thorns that had been pushed into his head. We think of the lacerated back of Christ when he had been whipped, and now those wounds pressing against the wood of the cross. Lord, you gave him to all that suffering that crucifixion entailed, but you gave him also to the smiting off the Father when the hand of God went against Christ, when he was smitten of God and afflicted, when he bore our sins, punished for our sins. And Lord, you gave him to it all so that we might be saved. We're glad tonight for the love of God towards man, and that great manifestation and demonstration of that love in Christ. And many of us tonight sitting in this church building, we have been made recipients of that love. It was the love of God that drew us to Christ. It was the love of God that saved our souls through Christ. And it's the love of God that has been upon us ever since that day we first believed. And you brought us through the varied circumstances of life in this world. And tonight the love of God is still upon us, and we pray that we might know more and more about that love, Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and full and free. We pray tonight for the dear unconverted that you will speak to them in this meeting. Thank thee for your servant, our brother Sam, that is with us tonight. And as he comes to sing, we pray that you will use the messages and song for your glory to speak to hearts. And we pray when we come to your word that likewise God will be in the message, speaking to all that are gathered and speaking to those that are listening in over the internet. Take a moment to remember Jan Kimbrough tonight. We've heard how seriously ill she is in hospital with COVID. And Lord, we're just praying very simply that you'll draw her back from the brink, that you'll draw her back from, Lord, this very, very serious situation. Be pleased to touch her and heal her for the glory of God. Lord, do it. We ask all these things through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. And amen. Now, most of you, and especially the older ones, will remember Sam Houston. And that's this big fella sitting here on the front row. Sam, you're very welcome to Ballymoney tonight, to the Hebron Church. And you're going to sing on two occasions, and we're going to ask you to come now and minister in song. And after he sings a couple of pieces, we're going just to mention to you about his DVD and his CD. Thank you, Sam.
Praise the Lord, we'll have no need of masks when we get home to heaven. But I would like to say a very sincere thank you, first of all, to the Reverend Parks for his very quick response when I requested that perhaps we could have an evening with you like this. And I want to thank you all for being here. And I want to say very seriously, thank you very, very much indeed for praying for my late wife, Betty, who has gone to heaven. She was saved, loved the Lord with all her heart. And I thank you sincerely for your prayers for us during such a very serious time. But we have a great future. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. And if you're not, we'd love you to come and join us on our journey there. The first song, dear friends, I'd like to sing with the accompaniment of our dear sister Sylvia here. We appreciate her work that she's put in, and our other dear friend that was here earlier to make sure that everything would go well in regards to the notes. My voice has got a lot deeper from what it used to be. So anyway, here goes. Thank you. I sought a flag to follow, a cause for which to stand. I sought a valiant leader who could my love command. I sought a stirring challenge, some noble work to try, to give my life fulfillment, my dreams to satisfy. I found them all in Jesus, the truth, the life, the way. Beneath his flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. I sought a ringing answer for all my doubts inside, a torch of truth uplifted, my searching steps to guide. I sought a word of wisdom, a true authority. I sought to know life's purpose, to solve its mystery. I found them all in Jesus, the truth, the life, the way. Beneath his flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. I sought for satisfaction, for yearnings deep within. I sought for full deliverance from chains of guilt and sin. I sought for peace and pardon, for freedom from my fears. I sought a hope to cling to beyond these passing years. I found them all in Jesus, the truth, the life, the way. Beneath his flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. Beneath his flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. And the next song is entitled, Why? Calvary's tree. Why, tell me why, was he there? Jesus, the helper, the healer, the friend. Why, tell me why, was he there? All my iniquities on him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Why should he love me, a sinner undone? Why, tell me why, should he care? I do not merit the love he has shown. Why, tell me why, should he care? All my iniquities on him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Why should I linger afar from his love? Why, tell me why, should I fear? Somehow I know I should venture and prove. Why, tell me why, should I fear? All my iniquities on him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me.
Sam, thank you very much. It's good to be led to the cross and to the ransom, what the Lord paid for us. And good to have you here tonight and to hear your voice again. Sam has this very rich, deep, melodious voice. And growing up, you know, years ago as students, we used to try and imitate those that you could imitate because their voices were just a little bit different. And Sam was one of those. He used to have some peculiar sayings and little phrases that he would have come out with from time to time. So as we were coming from the prayer meeting tonight and folks were making their way in, we knew Sam was behind us, and I just came behind my wife and I said to her,
"How you doing, sister?"
Just for a moment. Just for a moment, Sam. Just thought it was you. But you'll get the opportunity to say that later. Now, we have the CD and the DVD, and there's a picture on both of them of Sam, and the title of this is I Will Live My Life for Jesus. There's 11 pieces on it, and the price of the CD is £11, and the DVD is £13. And if you take both of them, you get them for £20. Now, right, Sam? So it's 11, 13, and then for the two, £20. Remember those auctioneers used to go around selling off their vans, and they would have said, it's not £50, it's not £40, and then they would go right down. And you can get the two. You can get the two. So Sam has a selection of them here tonight, a supply of them, and after tonight, they will be in Macaulay's bookshop. Isn't that right? Okay. If you want to say something about the CD and DVD, you can. Let me welcome you, the congregation, those listening in on Sermon Audio, Facebook, or YouTube tonight. We come to the announcements, and we have a few just very quickly to make. Wednesday night is our committee meeting at 8 o'clock. And then just maybe for you to pray for the open day that the school is having this coming Friday. It is by appointment only because of COVID restrictions, but pray as prospective pupils will come to see the school and parents as well that they will have a good morning. That's from 9 o'clock until 1. If you want to make an appointment, if you see any of our school staff. Friday, the Youth Fellowship is recommencing now after the winter and after our missionary weekend and prayer week. And that's at 8 o'clock. It's an introduction night, and it's more informal, as we said this morning. There'll be a time of singing. There'll be short testimonies and thoughts. A time of fellowship and some food will be served. So it's a good opportunity, young people, to come, first of all, yourself. It's a good opportunity to bring your friends and to introduce them to the work of God here and to the youth night. We're going to do something different this Friday night. We're actually going to rearrange the seats in the fellowship area. That's still the plan. And we can set them around the perimeter of that area and keep everyone apart, except for those that are wanting to sit together in their wee friendship and family bubbles, as they call it. But we look forward to that time on Friday night as the youth return. Saturday morning is the open air in the center of the town at 11. Next Lord's Day, we begin with prayer at 8 o'clock, coming here to the church, the Sabbath school 10:30, the Bible class at 10:30, worship service 12 noon, and the gospel meeting then at 7 o'clock with the prayer meeting 6:15. We thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings to the work of God, and today is the Missionary Council envelopes and the school covenant support. And just to mention also that magazines are available today, these two that I have in the pulpit, the Vision magazine and Let the Bible Speak, and there is a copy for every family. So please make sure that you take them and read them and be blessed by them. We're going to sing another hymn, 290, To the Uttermost He Saves. It's got a great theme, keeping with the message that we want to preach tonight. Come with me, visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died, His blood it fills the fountain, 'tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. Let's stand to sing.
Our hearts and lives now pray.
Brother Sam, we're going to invite you to come again and minister in song. Thank you.
And friends, before I sing these final two pieces, indeed they could be my final two pieces on this earth, none of us know, but thank God it's great to be able to sing the songs of Zion. I just want to encourage you by telling you that I've got great feedback from many people in regards to how they have been blessed through this latest recording. And I was at a little mission hall called Revarnet Mission Hall, and there was about 20 senior citizens there, and the lady who was running that little mission hall, she phoned me a couple of days later. She said, "Sam, I just want to let you know that there were 721 viewers that viewed that evening. And here's hoping, as a result of this meeting, that there'll be thousands all over the whole world will hear the good news that you must be born again, that you have to be saved." Dear friends, these recordings are not about Sam Houston. They're about the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. And it is time indeed to seek the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Thank you very much. I remember the days when I was bent low with the burden of sin and strife. Then Jesus came in and rescued me, and he gave me a brand new life. And now I thank him day after day for washing my sins away. It seems I can almost hear the voice of the blessed Savior say, "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been cast out. I don't remember them anymore." When my life becomes weak, it's then I can speak to the Savior who's with me each day. "Oh, Father, forgive me, hear my plea," and he washes my sins away. Each time that I bow to give him thanks for removing my guilt and shame, he cannot recall what I'm talking about, for his answer is always the same. "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been cast out. I don't remember them anymore. I don't remember them anymore." And dear friends, not that I desire to take up time, but I just want to say to you that I have been wonderfully blessed as I have come to this meeting tonight, not only to see all you folk here, but my late wife's cousin, second cousin of Betty's, is here tonight with her dear husband and her daughter and son-in-law. And I have prayed, along with my wife, for years that Davy would get saved. And Davy's here tonight, and Davy's got saved, and he's rejoicing, and has brought great joy to my heart. And praise God, there's great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner coming to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Perhaps maybe you're not ready to go to heaven, but thank God you can come to the Lord tonight. This is a great opportunity. And may God bless the preaching of His precious word, because the singing of the songs of Zion, dear friends, they are complementary to the word of God. But the word of God is that hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. May God bless the rest of this meeting for His glory alone. Amen. Speak just a word for Jesus. Speak just a word for Jesus. Tell how He died for you. Often repeat the story, wonderful, glad, and true. Speak just a word, ever to Him be true. Speak just a word, tell what He's doing for you. Speak just a word for Jesus. Tell how He helps you live. Tell of the strength and comfort which He will freely give. Speak just a word for Jesus. Do not for others wait. Gladly proclaim the message ere it shall be too late. Speak just a word, ever to Him be true. Speak just a word, tell what He's doing for you. Speak just a word for Jesus. Why should you doubt or fear? Surely His love will bless it. Someone will gladly hear. Speak just a word for Jesus. Tell of His love for men. Someone distressed may listen, willing to trust Him then. Speak just a word, ever to Him be true. Speak just a word, tell what He's doing for you.
Once again, thank you very much, Sam, for coming tonight, taking time, and for ministering in song. We're turning in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And we could read a number of verses as indicated on the slide, 17 to 28. I commend those verses especially to you. But I'm going to read my text, and then there's some other verses I'll refer to in the opening comments that I make in this message. But the text is verse 25, and I want to speak on God's uttermost salvation, and that's what this verse is all about. Hebrews 7, verse 25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. We'll have a word of prayer as we come to the preaching of the gospel. Our Father, we want to return thanks for your presence here tonight and for help given in the opening part of this service, the hymns that the congregation have sung together and the ministry and song by our brother Sam. We thank you for this tremendous verse of Scripture that highlights God's uttermost salvation. As we seek to expound it and explain it, we pray that we will settle down into this meeting, our minds and hearts brought into subjection to your word and to your will, and that you will speak to every heart. Open our hearts to your word, and give me the help of the Holy Spirit as I preach the gospel tonight. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Hebrews highlights and emphasizes the great work of Christ as our mediator. He is our great heavenly high priest who prays continually. Christ continues his ministry in heaven as our prophet, priest, and king. He intercedes and he pleads for us. Having purged our sins on earth, and that leads us to Calvary, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Chapter 1, verse 3 tells us. Paul calls him the apostle and high priest of our profession in Hebrews 3 and verse 1. And he tells us that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, and reminds us that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And that leads us towards the end of Hebrews 4 and verses 14 and 15. He teaches us in chapter 5 that Christ is our Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears and was heard. And that leads us to Gethsemane, that great agony of prayer when Jesus sweat great drops of blood. However, he continues forever in this role as our great high priest in glory. He has entered heaven by his own blood, chapter 9, verse 12, where he now appears in the presence of God for us. It is one of the grandest themes in all the Bible to know and to understand that we have a man in the glory, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, who is fully acquainted and identified with our nature. And there at the right hand of God, he pleads our cause. I'm glad that I have such a one in heaven, representing me, watching over me, interceding for me, one who has my best interests at heart, one who loves me dearly and bears me upon his heart. Can I take you for a moment to the first high priest on earth, Aaron, the brother of Moses? You needn't turn to it, but let me quote two verses from Exodus 28, verses 29 and 30. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Aaron was God's appointed and anointed high priest. He was a shadow of Christ, who is now our high priest in heaven, the high priest of the new covenant. And in like manner, as the names of the children of Israel were written upon the heart of Aaron, Jesus Christ carries our burdens. Jesus Christ intercedes for us. He prays for us. Our names are written in his heart, and he carries our burdens to God in intercessory prayer. You want to think about what we read in Hebrews chapter 5 and particularly verses 4 through to 6. One of the great intercessory aspects of Christ's ministry is that he prays for the salvation of sinners. You remember how the prophet Isaiah, in the great 53rd chapter of his prophecy, that chapter that really is all about Christ, is all about the cross, the Lord Jesus being led as a lamb to the slaughter, being wounded for our transgressions. You come right to the end of Isaiah chapter 53, and we are told concerning Christ that he intercedes for transgressors. Ultimately, I am saved because there was one in the glory who prayed for me, and his prayers are very effectual. I thank God for a praying mother, a mother who knew the Lord, loved the Lord, and daily remembered her family before the Lord, bearing them upon her heart. My father likewise, as he prayed and interceded for us. And we think of friends, we think of church members that prayed for us as we grew up, prayed for our salvation. But the intercessions of Christ surpass them all. And this is what the apostle is highlighting again in our text, a Savior in heaven, a Savior at the right hand of God who is praying. And therefore, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is the high priest who offered up himself as the sacrifice for our sins. This is that Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he might taste death for every man, as we read in chapter 2 and verse 9 of this epistle, bringing many sons to glory. And my friends, that's what he's doing right now. That's what he's doing in heaven. He's interceding. He's praying there for the salvation of his people, for a great innumerable multitudes through the nations of the world that will be gathered unto himself. And I pray that it will be so tonight. That as you, as God's people, pray, that our prayers will blend with the Savior's prayers in heaven. And ultimately, that will lead to the conversion of some dear soul in this meeting this evening, or some dear one that's listening in on the internet. It is because he intercedes on our behalf, on behalf of poor, lost sinners, that he is able to save to the uttermost all that come. So may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts as we just look for a few minutes at this text tonight. I want you to consider, first of all, that there is here a supreme necessity for you. That, my friend, very simply is for you to be saved. Our text speaks about being saved, how Christ is able to save those who come to him. This is God's salvation purchased by Christ at the place called Calvary. As the priest, he became both the offerer and the sacrifice. Jesus offered himself, and he became that sacrifice for sin. We have noted that already from verse 27, that he offered himself. And this he did on the center tree at the place called Calvary. Paul goes on to declare in chapter 9 and verse 26 that Christ, once in the end of the world, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This was the price of salvation. It cost our blessed Lord everything. He laid down his life. He shed his blood. He atoned for our sin. He suffered there upon the cross to take away our sin. And I want you to see the costly sacrifice made by Christ to save us from our sins. And this is your greatest need, to be saved. As we journey through life, this old world of sin, undoubtedly we will have many, many needs. And I'm sure you have discovered that already. There will be needs pertaining to life itself, our physical and mental health, soundness of body and mind. We will face weakness and sickness, pain, and infirmity, and there will arise tremendous needs in these things. There will be many challenges when it comes to education, employment, relationships, marriage, and regarding many of the things that we pursue in this world. There will be great needs when it comes to sin and temptation and our constant battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are the great enemies of all mankind, but especially the Christian. But by far infinitely so, the greatest need that you have is to be saved, is to experience God's salvation, to have your sins washed away, purged, and forgiven. Your greatest need is to escape the doom and destruction of eternal damnation and be made fit for the kingdom of heaven. I can conceive no greater need than this, to be prepared for the world to come. It's not to have our needs met for this life in this world, to enjoy a comfortable passage in those physical things. And of course, it is our desire to possess health and strength, to know God's provision when it comes to material things like food and clothing and shelter. We want to be blessed in this life when it comes to education or jobs, friendships, married life, and maybe even some ambition that you follow. But these are temporal things. These are physical, and they belong to the short duration of this life. Those matters that pertain to the immortal soul, which are spiritual and eternal, infinitely outweigh any other need that we think we might have. My dear friend in this meeting, let me tell you, let me remind you, you need to be saved. And I just want to speak to your heart with great straightness and plainness of language. I just want to talk to you tonight with compassion in my heart and with a sense of urgency upon my soul as I seek to remind you, you need God's salvation. To be saved means to be saved from sin. It's power and dominion. It's condemnation and it's punishment. Do you realize what we deserve? We deserve the wrath of a holy God. We deserve the kind of eternity that waits for those who die in their sins. It's the everlasting fires of the damned, the blackness of darkness forevermore, the place of pain and suffering where the rich man cried out, I am tormented in this flame, the region of outer darkness where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Indeed, the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, the everlasting fire, as Jesus put it, prepared for the devil and his angels. You need to be saved. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved? A supreme necessity. But notice, secondly, that there is a sovereign ability. It says, he is able. What a wonderful little phrase that is. And he's able to save to the uttermost. Power belongeth unto God. And we see the power of God displayed in the mighty universe. He called the heavens and the earth into existence in 6 literal days. He continues to uphold all things in this world by the word of his power. He gives to all of us tonight, life and breath and all things. He governs the nations by his supreme omnipotent power. He is able to do all things. We can say with the patriarch Job, Job 42 and verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything. And we can say with the angel in Luke chapter 1 and verse 27, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And the reference there, of course, is to the virgin birth. When the angel announced to Mary that she would conceive a son in her womb, one who would be called the Son of the Highest, naturally, Mary asked the question, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? Well, the angel explained how God would perform such a miracle, and then he declared these words, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And my dear friends, when it comes to this vitally important matter of salvation, I want you to know nothing is impossible with God. He is able to save to the uttermost. This mighty Christ multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He walked on water. He stilled the tempest. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He raised to life the dead. Is able to save to the uttermost. You know, this gives great confidence to the Lord's people as we pray. We think about those in our families and those within our friendship circles who know not the Lord. And they seem to be so far away from God, and sometimes we despair. Gives us great confidence to keep on praying because we know that He's able to save to the uttermost. Gives us confidence to witness to them. Gives us confidence just to keep on going on with the Lord in this matter. Even when we watch our loved ones drift away from the Lord, further and further away into sin, He is able. Get that into your heart, dear child of God. He's able to save to the uttermost. And then, of course, this brings great assurance to poor sinners. You might despair tonight that you can never be saved. You might wonder, could your sin ever be forgiven? You might even feel as if you've crossed the deadline and there's no hope for you. My friends, He is able to save to the uttermost. And I want you to know that truth. I want you to understand Christ's power to save. He's able to rescue any man. He who saved the publican Zacchaeus, the adulterous woman of Samaria, the dying thief, the persecuting Saul of Tarsus is able to save you. And it doesn't matter what your background is. And it doesn't matter what sins you've committed. It doesn't matter how many times you've rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior. It doesn't even matter how old you are. Get this truth into your heart and learn it well. He is able to save to the uttermost. God's hand is almighty to save. It's not shortened. The prophet tells us that it cannot save. You might be on the verge of death and hell itself, hovering over the pit of despair and eternal damnation, but Christ is mighty to save. He's able to save to the uttermost. That word uttermost is a lovely word, isn't it? Many people read this verse as if Jesus is able to save from the uttermost. The great evangelist Billy Sunday had a great sermon where he spoke passionately about how God saved him from the guttermost because he was a gutter drunk when God saved him. This was a great line from a great preacher, but it's not what this text is teaching. We are saved not from, we're saved to the uttermost. There is no doubt that Christ saves from the guttermost. No doubt about that whatsoever. No matter who the person might be, some poor alcoholic, some drug addict who is chained and fettered to his tablets and his needles and his substances, some immoral profligate who has abused his or her body in sexual sin and perversion, some blasphemer of God, who every word speaks a word that desecrates the name of our God. Some hard cursing man whose language is so blue it makes even the ungodly repulsed. Some atheistic denier of God and His Word who unashamedly violates the laws and the commands of God without conviction or the slightest remorse. Praise God, the Lord's able to save such individuals. What our text is declaring very simply is that Christ is able to save to the uttermost because He is on high. As our heavenly high priest at God's right hand, interceding for us, He is able to save in the most comprehensive and complete sense possible. He saves from all that we need to be saved from. Our sin, the power of sin, the curse of sin, from self, from our enemies, from Satan's power, from the clutches of the devil, from hell and damnation, from the fires of a lost eternity, and praise God, he saves us to the heights of joy and blessing, of heaven itself. He saves us to the golden streets and the beautiful mansions. He saves us to the wonderful presence of our Lord and Savior, all to that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And then thirdly, there is a solemn responsibility. You see the little phrase here, all that come? He's able to save to the uttermost all that come. He only saves those that come. And this is your responsibility. This is what the sinner must do. The sinner must come. You must come to Christ. He bids you come. He invites you to come. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come, for all things are now ready. That's the invitation of Christ. You ask the question, how do I come? Well, I've told you often enough about the two great pillars of the gospel, faith and repentance. That's how you come. You come in repentance, turning away from your sin. You come in faith, laying hold upon Jesus Christ, the only Savior of man. And as you turn from your sin, and as you embrace Christ as your Savior, that's what it is to come to Christ. You know, it's one thing to come to church, as many do. It's an entirely different thing to come to God for salvation through Christ. Here is the vital matter, my friends, in this meeting tonight. Have you come? Have you come to Christ for salvation? For he only saves those who come. And then there's one final little thought here. There's a strong entreaty. It says here that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See the blessed heavenly high priest seated on the throne of majesty and power. He exercises this ministry of prayer. He lives forever to pray for men and women on the earth to come to him for salvation. You cannot come of him of your own volition. You'll never do that. You'll never come by yourself. My friends, your will is bent and it is depraved. The sin that is in your heart will not allow you to come to Christ. We would never choose Christ. We would never choose salvation. We need awakening grace. We need the strivings of the Spirit. We need the drawing power of God. Indeed, we need the intercessions of our great heavenly high priest in glory. And that's what Jesus is doing right now. He's living to make intercession for us so that men will come to Christ. You might need to pray tonight, Lord, help me to sense my sin. Help me to see my condemnation. Help me to feel my need of a Savior. Help me to understand what I need to do. Lord, break the power of sin in my life. Lord, overcome the power of Satan. Defeat the world and the flesh within me. Oh, Lord, make it easy for me to come. Pray for me, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed Christ, intercede on my behalf that I might come and partake of your salvation. Oh, yes, my friends, this is God's uttermost salvation tonight. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you come to Christ, if not, now is your opportunity. As the gospel has been presented and the greatness of Christ has been brought to your attention, how he's able to save all who come, will you not trust him tonight? You not venture all upon the Savior who says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for a great text and a great Savior that is expounded in this text. We thank you for the one that is in the glory who prays there at the right hand of God, makes intercession, And we thank you, Lord, that those prayers are very powerful, very effectual. Every believer in this meeting has come to Christ, not just because there were those in their family and friendship circle that prayed for them, but because there was one in the glory who was praying also. And Lord, there are those that need to be saved here and listening in with us tonight. Will you rescue them? Lord, will you pray for them? Will you bring them to the Savior this evening that they might come to him and be saved and find salvation through the blood of Christ's cross? Oh, there's forgiveness. There's mercy. There's pardon and peace for all who come. Make this a great night, Lord, in the history of some individual as they come to the Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen. We want to sing that hymn that very often we love to sing at the end of a meeting like this. 288. Contains that little line in the chorus, "Save me, Jesus, save me now." And that's something like what you need to pray if you know not the Lord. You need to be saved. And so you need to pray, "Save me. Save me, Jesus. He's the only one who can save you. And I trust and pray that you'll say, save me now." That you'll come to Christ just where you are, just where you're sitting. That you'll lift your heart to him and pray the sinner's prayer. "I am coming to the cross. I'm poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find." Will you think of the words of the hymn? My friends, will you come to Christ? Let's rise. As always, we're here to help you whatever way we can. If you have a spiritual need, we'll do our best to speak to you and talk to you about that. If you need to be saved, come and see us afterwards. Give us the joy of pointing you to Christ. Heavenly Father, may there be those who will cry out, "Save me, Jesus, save me now." We know that salvation belongs to God, and we thank you that you have all power to save the souls of men, and you're able to save to the uttermost. Lord, do it tonight. Bless your word, bless the ministry and song. Use this meeting for your glory and your honor. Put your seal upon it, Lord. Draw some individual to the foot of the cross, and may they come now Maybe there's some listening on the internet tonight, Lord, and we pray just where they are, they will bow and seek the Lord and trust Him as Savior. Dismiss us now in your fear and in your love, we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.